This episode of Atlas Obscura is brought to you by Almond Joy. With a perfect blend of real creamy coconut, rich chocolatey taste, and a satisfying almond crunch, Almond Joy is a taste that simply takes you away. Blissful tropical flavors will have you feeling sunny vibes and ocean breezes in every bite. Almond Joy is the ticket to a sweet, indulgent, laid-back escape, one you'll want to return to again and again. Grab the creamy coconut and chocolatey crunch of Almond Joy today and taste paradise. If you want to learn another language and learn to speak it confidently and learn it naturally, Rosetta Stone helps you absorb a language in the same way you learned your native language, through real-world context and conversation. No rote memorization. They are teaching you practical skills you can use right away. Available on mobile and desktop, Rosetta Stone is designed to fully immerse you in your chosen language for a more natural and effective learning experience. I have been learning Spanish so that I can use it when I travel, and all of my progress has been thanks to Rosetta Stone. ¿Dónde es la biblioteca? I have a long way to go. The Atlas Obscura podcast listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/wonder to get started and claim your 50% off today. That's rosettastone.com/wonder to start learning.
Lulu, the week is over. We breached the end.
We have. I'm sad. I am loving our time together. Demystifying the trash of the world.
Yes. So this has been a super fun week. We've talked about rats and a weird, boring mall and coyotes in a cemetery. And these are all great episodes. Go back and listen if you haven't heard them. For this episode, we had an episode we did in the past that just fit so perfectly for this. So we're going to play an episode about someone who loves their hometown, just absolutely loves it, when literally everyone else in the world just describes it as a total trash fire.
Oh my goodness. I wonder what town. Can I guess?
You can guess.
Is it Trenton, the world takes and the Trenton makes?
It is not Trenton.
Is it? No shade on Trenton. I just feel like when your motto is like defensive, that's like hard.
You're not going to guess it. Honestly, okay. It's like a little bit too deep a cut. But when you hear it, you might be like, I understand why everyone describes this as a really genuinely crummy place.
All right.
So, okay. We're going to start that in a minute. Lulu, what a joy it has been co-hosting this Bad Rap Week with you.
So much fun.
For everyone listening, go subscribe to Lulu's podcast, Terrestrials. Look for it on the Radio Lab for Kids feed. Go and get it. It is really a great show.
Thanks, Dylan.
And with that, I wish you farewell.
All right.
And now let's go to this town.
Let's do it.
We're going to talk today about a secret place.
Yes.
Like secret in a complicated way, because although it's your sort of secret place, it's a place that you love, it's also like it's made a lot of internet lists. Can you share kind of the general vibe that your secret place is included in?
Yes, my secret place just this year was ranked number one as the worst place to get stoned on 420. it was listed by Forbes as the third most depressing city in America. Nice. Back when the recession was hitting, Yahoo said we were the city least likely to come back from the recession.
Man, this is a kind of a rough set of press for this place. So what is this city?
It is Rockford, Illinois, baby. Rockford, Illinois.
Today, I am talking with Ashley Ray. Ashley is a comedian, a TV critic, and host of the podcast TV I Say with Ashley Ray. But most of all, for this conversation, she and I are both fans of underappreciated Midwestern cities. More of this love letter to the unloved after this. Rockford, Illinois is about 90 miles northwest of Chicago. And if we're honest, it's not exactly the poster child for Illinois tourism.
We have more crime per capita than Chicago. We have more lead in our water than Flint, Michigan. Rockford is often called the Flint, Michigan of Illinois. We used to be called the Screw City because we had the largest screw factory in the world. We like provided all the screws in the world, like in the 1950s or something.
It does feel like calling yourself Screw City is like a little bit of like, you're putting yourself in a little bit of a dangerous box there.
You know, yeah, back then they didn't realize. They were just like, we make Screw City, baby.
Call
like,
Screw City.
Yeah.
Everything you've said up to this point would do not necessarily lead you to think that this was a place you were especially fond of. What is it that you like about Rockford? What is it that makes it secret?
It's my secret place because I was raised there. I grew up there and I love going back, even though my friends do not know why. They're like, why are you trying to go visit Rockford? There's nothing to do there. I don't agree with any of that. It is truly the place that made me the funny, creative person that I am, because it was the place where you had to find your own creativity. And so it has a special place in my heart.
So like in as much detail as you can, what does it look like when you're in Rockford? What's the city like?
There's tons and tons of natural prairie. The Rock River is this beautiful river that goes through the town. So there's all of this just like beautiful nature there that makes it so unique. Old Rockford is our downtown. It used to be bustling. So in the 60s, 70s, and really like during World War II, especially, that's when Rockford blew up. It is historic. The Rockford Peaches, if you're familiar with A League of Their Own.
Sure.
That's where they're from, my hometown. Hey. Their like baseball stadium where they originally practiced is still there downtown. There's like all these old factories that have like historical importance and are like labeled historical buildings. And if you go deep enough into Rockford, you will get there. And then that's when you realize, oh, I'm in a town with like a beautiful history and this isn't just like a Starbucks.
Well, one question before I do my next question. Have you ever considered becoming a Rockford Peach? Is this like a potential option?
I mean, the team, I believe, was ended. Like,
nah.
When the men came back from the war, they were like, we don't need girls to play baseball anymore. Get out of here. And so I think all of the women's baseball teams were shut down. So I have dressed as a Rockford Peach about three times. I have a Rockford Peaches uniform with my last name on it. It is my go-to like costume because I'm just like, I'm a Rockford girl, Rockford Peach. Let's keep this easy.
So when I asked if you'd considered becoming a Rockford, the answer is yes, I'm already a professional.
I am already
Rockford
one,
Peach.
Actually. Yes, I am already one.
Okay, so you grew up there. Like, what was it like growing up there? What did you do? What was the vibe of the city for you?
You know, I think a lot of people will be shocked that as a kid and teen, I loved Rockford. I thought it was a place that gave me so much freedom to do whatever I wanted, to explore, to break into buildings, to graffiti, to smoke pot on abandoned train tracks.
I mean, I grew up just north of you in Minneapolis and doing very much the same kinds of things, breaking into abandoned buildings, graffiti, running around, riding our bikes around the city. Like, this was the thing. That's
right. Yeah, that's fun.
Define fun.
My friends and I got really into photography, which like old school, like film cameras, which I don't think if I was in Chicago where there were things to do, I would have been like, hey, let's get into like, 120 cameras and go break into an abandoned theater and take weird photos.
Yeah.
But that was all we really had. And it's such a strange place to grow up as a teenager because there's so little to do, but there's so much freedom that you can make almost anything happen.
Totally. No, that sense of freedom is like, it's so powerful when you're a kid. Do you remember any of the like abandoned spaces you went and like spent time in?
Yes, absolutely. The Times Theater, it is exactly what you think of when you think like 1950s. And it's like one day they were still using it, showing shows, and someone just came in and was like, we're done, and just shut everything down.
Yeah.
The marquee, everything is still up, still showcases like the last thing that was shown there. And it's also weird because the doors are like pretty much, I think now they lock them and boarded them up probably because of children like me.
Yeah.
But back then you could just walk up and the doors were open.
Yeah.
And when we discovered that, we were like, oh my goodness.
Yes. Dude, wait a second. This makes Rockford like an incredible place to get stoned. Are you kidding
right?
me? It's in the top five.
Number one. I smoked pot there all the time. And it was so fun to smoke in that weird phantom theater.
Yes.
That was like the little inside secret us kids had. The other one was the Amrock building, which I guess back in World War II or something, it was like this very important factory that built important parts of boats. And so it is historically designated as like a building that couldn't be torn down. And so instead they turned it into a very like fancy hotel. But before that, it was just this empty abandoned factory that you could just go into. And if you go to the top, it's like the highest point in downtown yes. Rockford. You can see all the way to Byron, Illinois, baby. And it's just like, it's a really just beautiful open factory that had these giant windows. And in the day, if you broke in, you could take like these gorgeous sunrise shots. It was just beautiful. So, you know, to me, it was a place where I got to explore and become adventurous.
You're making me so nostalgic. Like, this is so similar to my teenage years in Minneapolis. And that we went to a place called Gold Medal Flower, which also now has been turned into like a fancy condo or something. But it was this crazy, like 9-story tall old flour mill. And yeah, you could get up there. You were in downtown. It was right on the Mississippi. You could watch the fireworks on 4th of July from there if you like were able to sneak in.
That's what we would do.
The cops. Yeah.
That's the special memories I have of Rockford is like, if you know where to look, it is such a special place where you can do pretty much anything. But people just don't really know where to look.
I feel like the freedom you're talking about as a teenager and the ability to like kind of build the myth of the place for yourself. You know what I mean? Like you get to know the city, you get to have those experiences, and then to just like kind of like fall in love with all these parts that other people don't see or don't understand or appreciate. It's like a really powerful sense of identity, belonging.
Exactly. And I love rock. Like truly my friends don't get it. Like I'm like 815 till I die. Like I go back all the time. It's my favorite. 815 is our area code. And I think it's one of those places that truly could have a renaissance if people just understood how much history it really had, how much there is to appreciate there.
Yeah, I mean, the city also does have a deep history. It's an old city.
Yeah, it is an old city. 1836, Rockford was founded, and it was actually one of the first cities founded by a black guy, Lewis Lemon. He was one of the founders of Rockford with two white guys. But because of that, there was more diversity in Rockford than in some of the other places. I believe the other two people were Swedish people who founded it. And at one point, Rockford had a larger Swedish population than any place but Stockholm. So growing up, I was so accustomed to Swedish culture, Swedish food. I could speak some Swedish. I was obsessed with like Ingmar Bergman movies because it was just everywhere around me. Like,
yeah.
I didn't realize most people don't know what a Swedish pancake is. Like, until I got to college and I was like, what do you mean you guys have never had a lingonberry? Are you crazy?
Yes, Midwest.
Yeah, totally. And it's just like one of those special things where I'm like, if I'd grown up anywhere else, I never would have gotten to appreciate those things, to learn about those things.
Okay. All right. Ashley and I are forming a Rockford Advisory Council. If you want Rockford, you want to throw us a little cash, we're going to get people to Rockford. This is
we'll make
happen.
It happen. And I mean, when I say I truly love Rockford and always have, even as a teenager, I actually was on the mayor's youth advisory council.
Yes. What were you trying to do as part of that council?
So when I was 16, the mayor was like, we got to help the teenagers. And so he started this advisory council to go, how do we make Rockford better for teenagers? I think they were like, oh, we should, build a library or something. Like more, I don't know, give them books or something. And I was just like, concerts. We should throw concerts, bro. Let me throw a concert, bro. I'll do it at my school.
You and I were living like little parallel lives. I was on the Walker Teen Arts Council, which was like, and my solution was just like, graffiti walls. Like, we gotta make more graffiti walls. It's obvious. This is the thing that this city needs.
I truly was just like, we should just like have a wall where kids can graffiti. And then we should just have venues where kids can go to concerts so that we aren't doing them where we get in trouble.
We weren't wrong.
We weren't wrong.
It's a good idea. We weren't wrong. Yeah.
I just remember feeling as a teen in Rockford, I could do anything and make anything happen at any level. And that's not something I've ever felt anywhere else.
So you no longer live in Rockford?
No.
Where do you live now?
I'm in LA now. Okay. I left Rockford when I was 18. I went to college in Massachusetts. And I actually was on the cover of the Rockford Register Star because I got like the most scholarship money to go to my college that year. There's like a quote with me that's like, Rockford is my home and I have friends and family here and I will always credit Rockford for making me who I am and I will come back and save this city someday.
This is happening. You're still on that mission.
Yeah. I am a one-woman Rockford, Illinois tourism department. I truly love going back and seeing my connections to all this history.
So the other people you know, like, who've gotten out of Rockford, do you have the same love for Rockford?
No. As far as I can tell, everyone else who gets out of Rockford is very like, I made it. I survived. I'm never going back. I'm never looking back. It is sort of like a Sodom and Gomorrah type deal. I feel like sometimes where people are afraid if they look back, they'll get stuck there.
And they'll get sucked back in.
Yeah, they're turned into stone and they'll never, or to salt, and they never leave. So I get the fear of that, of like getting stuck there. But, you know, I think by uplifting the city, we can change that. And by, you know, reminding people of how great it is and how much opportunity there is. And I think for me specifically, as a TV writer, it's what made me want to write. It's what made me want to make movies and write TV. Most of my things I've written are set in Rockford. So much of what I write about is set in the Midwest and Rockford, and wanting to really highlight a side of that place that people don't think about, that people don't realize the diversity and the just possibilities that are there.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like a real rich tradition of writers and TV writers who like have this deep, deep, deep love for a play. I think about like David Simon. I think, you know, there's just like this where you're just kind of like, no, the complexity, all the things that you look at and see like, oh, this place is shitty. I look at and see this is a deep and complicated and fascinating and often amazing and beautiful place, you know?
Yes. Like, it's gorgeous. You know, it truly is my little secret place. And I just want the whole world to know how special it is.
That was Ashley Ray, comedian, TV critic, and above all, a proud Rockford native. Ashley also hosts a podcast called TV I Say with Ashley Ray. You can listen on Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. It is great. I highly recommend it. This episode was produced by
Johanna Mayer.
Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The production team includes
Doug Baldinger, Chris
Naka, Camille Stanley, Manolo
Morales, Baudelaire, Gabby
Gladney. Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was mixed by
Luce Fleming.
If you want to learn more, be sure to visit atlasobscura.com. There is a link in the episode description. And our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tyndall. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I will see you next time.
Did you know 39% of teen drivers admit to texting while driving? Even scarier, those who text are more likely to speed and run red lights. Shockingly, 94% know it's dangerous, but do it anyway. As a parent, you can't always be in the car, but you can stay connected to their safety with Greenlight Infinity's driving reports. Monitor their driving habits, see if they're using their phone, speeding, and more. These reports provide real data for meaningful conversations about safety. Plus, with weekly updates, you can track their progress over time. Help keep your teen safe. Sign up for Greenlight Infinity at greenlight.com/podcast.
Earn a business degree on your terms. At Capella University, our FlexPath format is available in select programs and lets you learn on your schedule. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.